Very well done. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. Make sure you're on. Am I? Oh. My bad. Isaiah chapter 57.
Normally when I preach or whenever I, you know, get up and give a message, I try to keep it as simple as possible. I try not to get extremely deep or extremely complicated. So I just want to give us a very simple message this evening, something that's not going to be extremely complicated, something you may have even heard before, but I think it's something that we all need to be reminded of, something that is extremely instrumental in the life of a Christian. And so my message today is simply going to be just a one-word message. Now, don't get too happy. It's probably going to take me a little while to get through it. But it's just going to be a one-word message, one word that I want us to focus on, one word that I want us to look at. And I think that this one word can change your life if you'll allow it to. This one word can, if you'll allow it to seep into your heart, if you'll allow it to brand your heart and your mind, I believe it'll make a massive difference in your life. So let's look at Isaiah 57, and in verse 15, the Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Let's pray, and I want to look at just a single word today. Not going to be complicated, but a single word that we can apply to our Christianity. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, I thank you for the power that is in this Scripture, the words and the illustration that we see of you. And God, just the great power that you have. And Lord, as you'd please be with me this evening, I ask you'd please just help me to say only what you'd want me to say. Help me to convey what you'd want me to convey. God, I ask you'd fill me with your Spirit. And God, I need your help tonight, and I need your Spirit. And I ask you'd please help me in your name. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, as we go through it, it's filled with plenty of powerful words. It's filled with plenty of meaning. It gives us an amazing point of view of how God is, of who God is. And so there's an incredible amount of application that we can get from this, and I see the word revival mentioned in here. And revival in America and a revival in our nation is immense. The word revival used here is a great application that we can look at. The direction of our nation is declining. There is a great need for God's people to humble themselves and seek God in such a wicked time. You know, I desire for my son to live in a nation that is not forsaking our eternal God, but is rather uplifting him. And so we see this aspect of revival. We see this aspect of how important it is for us to come to God humbly and contrite and to come to him, because it is only then when God can revive our heart and God can revive our spirit. But before we get to the revival of God's people, it starts with a recognition of who God is. It starts with a recognition of the God that we serve. Gives us some illustrations. It gives us some point of views of who God truly is. And so before we get to the end of the verse, we must first get through the beginning of it. And so I want to draw our attention to this one word at the beginning of this verse. It says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Eternity. Before my wife and I, we came out here to Pennsylvania and we became Pennsylvanians. We were Hoosiers. We lived in Indiana, and the church that we were at was at First Baptist of Hammond. And we weren't there for a long period of time, but in 2023, and I might have mentioned this in a past sermon, but in 2023, they had a theme for the year, and the theme for the year was keeping eternity in view. Keeping eternity in the back of our minds, keeping eternity, honestly, at the forefront of our minds, understanding this aspect of eternity. And the whole year was designated around this word eternity. It was soul winning with eternity in view, giving with eternity in view, loving your family and understanding, you know, the things of God with eternity in view. And they gave explanations, but this one verse was the theme verse for the year, keeping eternity in view. And for 1 year, the theme of this ministry was centered around this one word, eternity. And I understand that we often come to church, and within an hour of leaving tonight, some of us may forget that we even what was preached tonight. So often we come in those doors and we leave the exact same way that we came in. And so my goal tonight and my purpose tonight is not to give you some elaborate outline. It's not to give you some important application for you to apply in your life, but rather is simply to sketch or to etch one word on your heart and on your mind. And that one word is eternity. It's a simple word. And so when I finish up tonight, I understand you probably won't remember anything that I specifically said. You may even forget that I preached a week from today. But I am praying that the Holy Spirit will speak to us about this one word of eternity. And I truly believe, I believe with all of my heart, if we will brand this word on our hearts and on our minds, and if we will apply it to our lives, man, it will transform our Christianity. We will not look at life the same way when we have eternity at the forefront of our minds. It will change the way that we live here on earth. It will magnify our need to come out of darkness and to live in the light of eternity. And did you know that this verse where eternity is mentioned is the only place where eternity is mentioned in the Bible? Obviously, we have the specific word eternity. This is the only place where it is mentioned in Scripture. Obviously, we have eternal and everlasting that is all throughout Scripture. But this specific passage of Scripture, this is the only place where we find the word eternity. It's the only place. A Quaker missionary by the name of Stephen Grillet tells a story of how God used this word eternity to influence his own life. One evening, he said, "I was walking in the fields alone, my mind being under no kind of religious concern, nor in the least excited by anything I had heard or thought of. Suddenly, explain it how you may, the solitudes of the vast American forest declined any longer to be dumb. They became vocal with wondrous speech. The wayward winds and the rustling leaves were all whispering and caroling and shouting and echoing the same wonderful word, eternity. Eternity. It reached my very soul. My whole man shook. It brought me like Saul to the ground. The great depravity and sinfulness of my heart were set before me. It is said that in desperation he turned to his Bible saying, 'How can I set forth the fullness of heavenly joy that filled me?' I saw that there was one that was able to save me. I beheld the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I put my trust in the atoning blood. Floods of joyous tears event to the gratitude in my heart, and all through one word. A word that reached my very soul, shook my whole man, and brought me to the ground. That word, eternity." And this simple word, this very simple word that we see made a huge and lasting impact on this man's life. He understood that this word was more than just a word. It had a deep and everlasting meaning to it. And I understand, and understand, church people, if that word does not hurry us to the foot of the cross, I don't know what will. If the word eternity does not challenge us and does not hurry us to the person of Christ, then I don't know what will. Because that word, when we think about it, when we dwell on it, when we really truly understand the meaning and the power of that word, I don't see how you can live life the same way. I don't see how you can look at life in the same lens. I don't see how you can look at Christ and our relationship with him and our service for him. I don't see how you can look at it the same way when you look at it through the lens of eternity. Dr. Thomas Chalmers was an old man sitting in a meeting. He was honored and respected. He was a great man of God. And in the middle of an evangelistic meeting, a young man stood in the back and began to read from a piece of paper. He began to read some of the most blasphemous words you have ever heard, some of the most horrible representations of Christ, some of the nastiest things you've ever heard. And the young man began to laugh, stating that those words were the words of the day. Chalmers stood to his feet. And as every eye turned to the old man sitting in that meeting, Chalmers stood to his feet, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "It is true. Every word that man said was what I wrote. There was a time in my life when I did not know God. I did everything I could to fight against him, and I wrote those words. But when I wrote those words, there were two things I had not considered: the littleness of time and the greatness of eternity." And as Christians, it is vital that we live our lives keeping eternity in view. Keeping eternity at the forefront of our minds. And you may be like Dr. Chalmers, where there was a time in your life where you did not keep eternity at the forefront of your mind. Where you were so focused on the littleness of time that we have here on earth, and you were not focused on eternity. But I'm asking, my goal for tonight is not to give you an amazing sermon, but to just give you one simple word that we can apply to our lives, and that simple word is eternity. That word can do wonders in our lives if we'll allow it to. David Brainerd wrote in his journal, "I love to live on the brink of eternity." He loved to live on the brink of eternity because he always realized he was one breath away from going into eternity. And David Brainerd lived his life in service for God. He lived his life constantly seeking and doing the things that would last for eternity. He didn't do things that were just going to be temporal. He didn't choose a life of comfort. He didn't choose a life of temporary pleasure. He chose a life seeking God's will for his life. He chose a life that was going to make a difference for eternity. And so we are all living on the brink of eternity. We're all one step away from going off into eternity, and eternity is a lot different than what our life here on earth is going to be. And so again, my goal is not to give you a sermon to remember, and rather my desire is that God would etch the word eternity on our hearts and on our minds, and that we would leave this auditorium tonight. We would go outside those doors tonight. We would go to work tomorrow morning, and we would have this word etched on our minds, and we would think about the magnitude and the importance of eternity. On January 1st, 2000, the turn of the millennium took place. I'd love to say how crazy it was, but I wasn't born yet. I don't know if that makes you feel old or if that makes me look young, but it is what it is nonetheless. And so, you know, I'm young, but from what I've heard, it was a crazy time. It was crazy, right? Yeah, that's what I've heard. And so everyone thought the world was going to end. You know, all this was going to happen. All the computers were going to shut down. It was just going to be a crazy time. But however, during this period of time in Sydney, Australia, there was a single word that was placed on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. One word. And it's kind of interesting to think about. You know, Sydney, Australia is not known for being a center for Christianity. It is a very carnal place. But that one word that was placed on that turn of the millennium, that one word placed on the Sydney Harbour Bridge was the word eternity. In fact, if you go to Sydney Square today, in the middle of the square, you will find one word in copper writing. And that word is eternity. Why that is, one may ask. Why is this word so important to the Sydney, Australia area? Well, the story begins in 1930 when a man by the name of Arthur Stacey stumbled in drunk to an evangelistic meeting in Sydney, Australia. And that drunk man heard somebody preach the gospel. Something Arthur Stacey had never heard of anything before. And when the meeting was done, he didn't go forward, but instead he stumbled outside and crossed the street to an empty park. And Arthur Stacey got on his knees and became a born-again Christian. 2 years later, Arthur walked into a men's meeting. And the man who was preaching that day said something about eternity. And when he did, that word captured the attention of Arthur Stacey. It took root in his heart, and in his mind. And as he stood in the back of that men's meeting, he thought to himself, I wish I could shout that word to everybody in Sydney. I wish I could tell everyone in Sydney that simple word, that word, eternity. And at that moment, Arthur Stacey stuck his hand in his pockets, and when he did, he felt a piece of chalk that had left his pocket from a job he'd been on. And after that meeting, Arthur Stacey walked outside the building that morning, and he walked over to the corner where no one could see him, and he got down on his knees, and he said, I took a piece of that chalk, and I wrote one word, eternity. Arthur Stacey was an uneducated and poor man. In the world's eyes, he had no significance. In the world's eyes, he was just a sorry, low-life drunk. But for every morning for 33 years, Arthur Stacey got out of his bed at 5 o'clock in the morning and took a piece of chalk and walked all over Sydney in the quiet of the morning writing one word on the sidewalks, eternity. He became a legend. Nobody even knew who he was. In fact, newspapers used to write about him, wondering who this Mr. Eternity was, wondering who was this person that was going around Sydney and drawing in chalk this simple word, eternity. And one morning, it said, Arthur Stacey's pastor was up very early making a hospital call, and he came around the corner and saw Arthur down on his hands and knees writing the word eternity. And he said, Arthur, you're Mr. Eternity? Going around all of Sydney, writing down this simple word? Going around Sydney and writing this word, eternity? You're Mr. Eternity? And Arthur replied with tears in his eyes, Preacher, I couldn't do much, but at least maybe I could make somebody think about eternity. So that's the goal of my message tonight. To make you think about eternity. To make you think about how great our God is and about how eternal he is and about how we're not living for just a short period of time here on earth. We're living for eternity. There is such power and there is such magnitude in that. And so there is so much power in that word. And that word eternity points to a few things about the nature of God. When I think of eternity, I think about how large God is. I think about how big he is. I think about how powerful he is. Do you ever think for just a moment about how big God truly is and how little we are? Understand, we are specks of dust on the pages of human history. Specks of dust. We will live our lives, we will grow up, and we will die, and we will just be a speck of dust on human history. Probably not going to make a lasting impact for earthly purposes. Probably not. And any way you look at it, God made man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that's how man became a living soul, and we're going to return to the dust one day. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto the God who gave it. And so it doesn't matter how healthy you are, doesn't matter how much you work out, you can eat healthy, you can do all the things to make your life last longer, to do all those things, to extend your life, do what you may. But understand, there will come a day where you will shrivel up and you will die. You're going to die. It's just a fact of life. It is appointed unto man once to die. But there is a God, the God that we serve, and that God is eternal. He is not bound by time. He is not bound by any human timetable. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. See, church, prior to Genesis 1, prior before creation, God was. He was there. He was there before creation. He was there before man ever took his first step, before we ever see any part of creation. God was there before Genesis 1. And if we go all the way past Revelations, if we go all the way to the end of the world, guess what? God is still there. Why? Because he is eternal. He is not bound by time. If he was bound by time, then he would not be God. The God that we serve has always been and he always will be. He is the great I am. He's not the I was, he's not the I will be, and he was and he will be, but he has always been. And he always will be. So how big is God? Isaiah 40:12 says, Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span? And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains and scales and the hills in balance. That is a powerful verse right there. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? He can measure the waters just by his hand. He can measure the heavens by the span of his hand. That is how big, that is how vast, that is how large our God truly is. And so often we limit God's whereabouts to just living up in heaven, the man upstairs. And it's a sad representation of who God truly is because he is everywhere. There is no place where our God does not dwell. He dwells in me. He dwells in you. He dwells amongst nature. He dwells in heaven. He is everywhere. He is in all and he is through all. And get this, our God is so big that he fills up eternity. He is so big that even eternity cannot contain him. And I don't know what that does for you. I don't know what that does in your mind, but man, that brings it kind of into perspective for me. About the God that I serve is not some weak God, but he is the Almighty God. And I get the chance to serve him. I get the chance to serve him for eternity's sake. And man, when we think about how big God truly is, that isn't even the greatest part. If we look at our text verse, Isaiah 57:15, it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." Our God is so large that he can fill up eternity, and yet he is so loving that he is willing to come and live in the heart of a sinner like me. Our God is so big, our God is so great, and he's above the universe, he's in charge of everything, and that very same God desires to dwell in your life and in my life. He desires to work in your life, he desires to work in my life. A God so big that nothing can hold him says, "If you'll humble yourself, I'll come and dwell in you." And what an amazing promise. What an amazing God that we serve. What a big God that we serve. What a vast God that we serve. What a powerful God that we serve. Not only do I think about, when I think about the word eternity, about how vast and how large our God is, I think about how long I'm going to live. Exactly 22 years tomorrow, Garrett Jeffers came into existence. This is my birthday tomorrow, so if you want to write that down, just... Just so you know, I mean, I won't refuse any birthday gifts. But exactly 22 years ago, I came into existence. And there was a time where I was not, but there will never be a time where I will not be. And ultimately, the only thing that will matter 100 years from today is what you and I did for eternity. It's not going to matter what job you had. It's not going to matter what you did here on earth to build your name. It's not going to matter at all. That it has no value in eternity's eyes. The thing that will matter is what we do for eternity. You see, there is an eternal heaven, and there is an eternal hell, and frankly, I don't think Christians spend enough time thinking about eternity. I don't think we spend even a fraction of the amount of time we should dwell on eternity. You see, we're so consumed with our jobs. We're so consumed with our hobbies. We get so consumed with the thing that's here right in front of us today. And we're living day to day. And God's saying, "I don't want you to have just a temporary mindset. I want you to look to eternity." Because that's what we're living for as Christians. We're so busy just trying to get through the next day that we stop and we never stop and just think about eternity. So my question is, how many times this week did you stop and think about eternity? How many times this week did you stop and just think about the greatness of our God? How many times did you just stop and think about the life that you're truly living for? Is it really just what's here on earth, or are you actually living for eternity? What I've discovered is that it's not just lost people that don't think about eternity, it's saved people. We often like to just point at lost people for not thinking about eternity, but sometimes it's even saved people that don't spend a minute thinking about eternity. I want to remind us of something that is just a little portion of our eternity. It just looks momentary as best. My grandma, she used to have a neighbor, and we always would go visit him when she lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I can't remember, I think it was Julius was his name. I can't remember. But he lived to be on good years old. It's a long life. It's a very long life. I actually looked up on Google today. Who is the oldest person alive? It's somebody, I couldn't pronounce their name, but they lived to be 116 years old. They're 116 years old today. It's a long time to live. It's a very, very long time to live. But even if you live to be 100 years of age, your life is just for a moment. It's just a split second. It's not going to be long. In the vastness, in the lens of eternity, it's just a split second. In fact, James relates our life here on earth to a vapor. He says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, for a little time, and then vanisheth away." It's just a vapor. It comes and it goes. So let me ask you, what are we doing for eternity's sake. Let me just illustrate it for you here, just for a second. Just picture this, just for a minute. Just picture this single dot right here. That is your life. That is your life here on earth, whether that's 70 years, it's 100 years, it's 20 years. Your life is just a single dot. And when we think about eternity, when we think about the vastness of eternity, if we just walked around this auditorium 100 times, if I ran around this auditorium 100 times, I'm sure it's a billion times, it would not even compare, it would not even shed the slightest light on what eternity truly is. And the challenging part and the sad part is so many Christians are living for that one single dot. They're living for that measly 70 years of life when God is saying, hey, I want you to live for eternity's sake. I want you to live in light of eternity. I don't want you to live for just your temporary time here on earth. And so often we attribute so much value to the car we drive and the house we live in and the things we have here on earth. And God is saying those things are going to go up in flames someday. They have no eternal value. But there is a work of God that he wants to do in your life and he wants to do in my life that has eternal value. I'll tell you what has eternal value. It's going over to your neighbor tomorrow and telling them about Christ. I'll tell you what has eternal value. It's investing in people that are going through a difficult time. It's putting others before yourself. It's showing others Christ. It's furthering the gospel. That is what matters for eternity's sake. So why is it that we give all of our time and all of our resources to our temporary time here on earth? So I want to ask you again, when was the last time you thought about eternity? If I were to ask you point blank right now, are you ready for eternity? What would you say? You say you're ready? You're ready to meet God? When I say that, are you ready to stand before God and give an account for what you did here on earth? You know, I used to think growing up, like as I was a kid, I used to always think that there was like an angel assigned to me, and that angel was just videotaping me the whole time, and that whenever I got to heaven someday, the big screen in heaven would come down, and that he would just display all of my actions and everything that I did wrong, and it was just going to be incredibly embarrassing, and that's not at all what it is. That's not at all true. In fact, in my opinion, it's much worse than that. One day I will stand before the God of all the universe, the God that loved me, the God that died for me. It's not going to be me and you. It's not going to be all of us together. It's just going to be me and him, and he's going to stand, and I'm going to stand face to face with the high and holy God, knowing that he knew everything about me. Every failure I had, every time I forsook him, every time I place my own values and my own purposes first, when every time I place sin before what I should have done for Christ. And the God that loved me and the great God that put me into existence, I'm going to stand and give an account for what I did here on earth. And that is a sobering thought. And understand, church, what is important on that day ought to be important today. What's important when you meet Christ, what's important when you stand face to face to God, what's important on that day ought to be important today, ought to be important tonight, ought to be tomorrow, ought to be the next week and the next month. It ought to be important today. And sadly, there are people who've been in church their whole life and they are not ready to meet God. They're not ready to stand before him. They've done nothing for him. They've never attributed anything in their life to do anything for God. They've lived for themselves. They've lived for the temporary time that we have here on earth. It's all their life is. And sometimes we're so busy with all of our thoughts about our time and our here and now and about us and about everybody else, we have not given enough serious thought to one thing, and that one thing is eternity. When I think of eternity, it not only reminds me about how big God is or how long I'm going to live, it reminds me how little time I have to get ready. We have a short amount of time to get ready for eternity. It's not a long time. We don't get a long time. And I don't care if you're 70 years old tonight or if you're 10 years old tonight. We ought to be preparing for eternity. We ought to be getting ready for eternity because we don't have a long time. We only get a short amount of time here on earth to do something for God, to live for eternity. When I was at college, I was not a get up early and be ready on time and get everything together. I was kind of the, I would work till about 2 a.m. So I would sleep in and I would wait till the very last second of when I had to get ready. And my time record was 5 minutes. I got ready in 5 minutes. I got dressed for college and everything, got my tie on. It was the whole nine yards and I got to class on time. So I'm very proud of that situation. But there was multiple times in my college life that I had a very, very short time to get ready. Very short time to get ready for class. And that was kind of my own fault. But understand, church, we have a very short time to get ready for eternity. We don't get 900 years to do something for God in our life. We don't get 1,000 years or 100,000 years, or we just get a short amount of time. We just get a short period of time to do something for God in our life. Our life is a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. So I don't know how long I'm going to live, and I hope it's a good long life, but I don't know. Tomorrow could be my last day. I'd hate that to be on my birthday. It doesn't seem... seems kind of a sad birthday. But I don't know how long I'm going to live. I could live to be 70 years old. I could live to be 100 years old. I could live to be a long time. Well, I don't know what it is. I don't know how long you're going to live, and I hope it's a long time. But even if you live a long time, in the great scheme of things, it is a very little time compared to eternity. It's just a very short time. We don't get a long time to do something for God here on earth. But we do get some time. We are accountable for the time that we had here on earth. We are accountable for what we did here on earth. So as I ask you again, are you ready for eternity? Are you ready to meet God? If not, if that's not your case, you say, I'm not ready to meet God. I'm not ready to stand before the high and holy God. I'm not ready to stand before him and give account for my life because I have not done nearly enough. And I'm not saying we're ever going to do enough for eternity, but I'm saying we ought to be doing something. We ought to be doing the very best that we possibly can. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, I'm not ready for eternity, then something needs to change. There's something in our lives that is preventing us from doing the will of eternity, something that's preventing us from doing the will of God. And whatever that is, I would ask the Holy Spirit, and I believe he is speaking to each and every one of us, something that we're wasting time on. Maybe we're wasting time on the temporary things here on earth. Maybe we're just forsaking God completely. Maybe we're just living in sin. Whatever it is, if you're not ready to meet God, then something needs to change tonight. We need to come to this altar and we need to say, God, I am not ready for eternity. And I realize that I only have a short period of time to do something for you here on earth. And I don't want to be ashamed standing before you. I don't want to be ashamed and think about how I did nothing, even though you gave me so much. God has been so good to me. He's given me a Christian family. He's given me a Christian home to grow up in. He gave me an amazing church to be a part of. God has given me so much, and for me to just waste all of that, that just breaks my heart. Breaks my heart, and I believe it breaks God's heart to know that he gave me such a great opportunity to serve Christ, and I just squandered that. And I don't want that to be my testimony, and I don't want that to be your testimony. You don't need to hear my voice. You don't need to hear my sermon. You need to hear the voice of the high and holy God. What is he speaking to you about? What is he saying needs to change? What is he saying? What is he asking you to do for eternity's sake? Are you ready for eternity? P.B. Bliss wrote some of the greatest songs in our hymn book. He was a great man of God. He did a lot of great things. A lot of the hymns that we have in our songbook would be attributed to him. He had a beautiful wife, little children, and at his last meeting in December of 1876, he sang his final song, Put to Music. And he sang it for the first time in that meeting. After the meeting, he and his wife boarded a train trying to get home to their children in Chicago. And as they were riding along in Ashtabula, Ohio, that old wooden train plummeted to the bottom of that ravine. caught on fire, and the fire quickly moved through every car. P.P. Bliss managed to get free and crawled out. And when he did, he turned back and looked inside, and his wife was pinned, and she couldn't free herself. And P.P. Bliss, at 32 years of age, crawled back inside the train and sat down next to his wife and put his arm around her and said, "Sweetheart, if you're going into heaven today, I am too." And together they met God, and the last song that he ever wrote and the last song that he ever sang is a song that we've probably never heard of, I hadn't heard of myself, and that song has one word. One word, and it's titled Eternity. Oh, the clanging bells of time, night and day they never cease. We are wearied with their chime, for they do not bring us peace. And we hush our breath to hear, and we strain our eyes to see, if thy shores are drawing near, eternity, eternity. Oh, the clanging bells of time, now their changes rise and fall, but in undertone sublime, sounding clearly through them all, is a voice that must be heard, as our moments onward flee, and it speaketh, I, one word, eternity. P.P. Bliss walked into that meeting in his 30s and sang his last song and stepped out of this world into eternity. In a moment, eternity will be just as real as the world you're living in right now. And I want us as a church, and I desire, and again, I probably didn't convey it in the best way that I possibly could, but I believe that God laid this on my heart. As I was studying this and I was looking at this, I was challenged in my own life and I was challenged in my own heart about the importance of eternity. Because I can get so focused on just the here and now, on the problems for the day, of the problems for the week, of the things that I have to do. And again, those things are important and we have to address those things. But I'm asking and I'm pleading with us to sketch this word on our heart, the word eternity. Because if we will live in the light of eternity, if we will live thinking about eternity, if we will live in that light, man, there is amazing things that God can do. There is an amazing work that God wants to accomplish in your life and in my life, if we'll allow him to. And so stop living just for that single dot of time. Stop giving all of your resources and all of your time and instead saying, God, what do you want me to do for eternity's sake? What difference can I make for eternity? Are you ready for eternity? If not, change something today. Change something tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for this verse in Isaiah. I thank you just for the power and just the weight that goes behind it. Lord, I ask that you'd please just be with this church here, be with me personally. Lord, I know I need this in my own life. I can get so focused on the here and now that I forget that you are wanting to do something for eternity's sake, that you have an eternal will, you have an eternal purpose. And God, help us as a church to stop focusing just on the here and now, but to focus on eternity, to focus on what you are trying to do in our lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you do for us.